Welcome to the Villain Rookie Podcast for this 13th day of September 2021. We just finished the first weekend of the National Football League schedule. There was a full MLB schedule over the weekend. The Yankees and the Mets played in an interleague series over the weekend. Appropriately enough, in New York, there was no shortage of 9/11 tributes.
Oh, I would imagine.
All over TV all weekend. Did you watch any of it? Did you see any? I learned some things that I didn't realize, that I didn't know about September 11th over the weekend. So I was wondering if you did or see anything that, yeah.
I did not, because I was out of town in that golf outing over the weekend, so I was not tuned into any of that stuff. I did watch the new documentary on Netflix, Turning Point, and all, and learned new information and saw new footage and heard new interviews that hadn't been seen or heard before. So that was enlightening and learning and stuff like that. But in terms of the tributes and all that stuff going on over the weekend, I did not see anything. I was out of town and I was participating in the golf outing. So.
Okay, so I'm going to tell two stories that you might have seen, you might not have seen. They both have NFL ties.
Okay.
The first one is Adam Schefter. I don't know if you realize this. Adam Schefter, who covers he's one of the biggest insiders in the NFL, right? He married a woman whose previous husband died in 9/11.
Oh, really?
Was a firefighter.
Okay.
And I saw the story on ESPN. Actually, I saw it online, but it aired on ESPN. And I don't know the exact time frame, but this woman's husband was a fireman. He went into the North Tower, I believe, and when it fell, he died.
Sure.
They had a son, a young son at the time, like a year old. She obviously was devastated, so forth. Several years later, Adam Schefter, they meet, they go on a date. Next thing you know, they're getting married.
Okay.
They go on to have a child of their own. They have a daughter. The boy is now 21, 22 years old.
Sure.
You know, grown man. But it was a great story because Adam Schefter understood the situation. He did not try to replace that guy in their life, mm-hmm. in their home. He said, you know, there's pictures of this guy all over their house. They honor him as the father to this son. He's a part of their everyday life. I thought it was really cool.
It's very interesting.
The way he told the story and the way, you know, like I said, they don't deny him or anything. And by all accounts, they're doing great. So that was a cool story. The second cool story involves Robert Saleh, the head coach of the New York Jets.
Okay.
On September 11th, 2001, he was working in the banking industry. His older brother was also working in the banking industry and was in the South Tower, I believe, in one of the towers on September 11th.
Robert Saleh was in it?
His brother was.
Oh, his brother, okay.
His brother was on the 46th floor or something, playing hits. He says, I'm getting the hell out. And he was one, I don't know, you've probably seen this story, that at some point during the evacuation of the first tower, I believe, the report was that someone came over the intercom and said it was safe to go back to your offices. Don't panic. It's safe to go back. If you're below a certain floor, go back to the office. They didn't know the building was going to come down.
No, but
right?
It still seems pretty weird that you would do that, but go ahead.
So
it's on fire.
Some people did. A lot of people didn't. Saleh's brother was one that did not leave. He said, or did not go back. He said, I'm out of here. And he made it out, and he survived. But they didn't hear. I mean, obviously, this took place at, what, 8:45 in the morning?
Right.
And then chaos obviously ensued. They didn't hear. They being Robert, the rest of the family, didn't find out that he had survived until like 4 in the afternoon when he was finally able to get through on the phone because the phones were jammed. We all know how everything was happening.
Yep.
So he wasn't able to get word to his parents first that he was okay. So they all feared the worst, obviously. His mother was a wreck. Robert Sala talked about how he saw his mother. He goes, I felt bad for her because she didn't know whether her son was alive or not. So when she finally found out, she was obviously very relieved, and they were all very relieved. He was very close with his brother. So as a result of that day and that incident, Robert Sala, who was, again, working in the banking industry at the time, called his older brother and said, you know what? I'm quitting. I can't do this anymore. I've got to be in football somewhere. I've got to be involved in football.
His true passion, I'm assuming.
True passion.
He was kind of going through life doing a job that he didn't really want to do. Wanted to be in football.
Yep.
And then with this close call with his brother, says, life's too short. You never know when it's going to end. I'm out of here. I'm getting into football.
I'm going to do what I'm supposed to be doing.
Okay.
Made a phone call to his former high school coach who put him in touch with a friend of his who was an assistant coach at Michigan State. And so Sala then calls up this guy at Michigan State and says, man, I need a gig. Can you hook me up with anything?
Help a guy out.
And he did, and he hired him as a video assistant or something like that. Got his foot in the door. And 20 years later, he's the head coach of the New York Jets.
It's crazy, isn't
it? How cool is that?
Yeah.
But he wouldn't have even been in football had it not been for that day.
Perhaps, right?
He said there's no doubt about it. He said not perhaps, that there's no question that he would not have made that switch. Because he was doing okay. He just didn't like it. You know, he knew that wasn't his passion. Like you said, it wasn't, you know, his dream job or anything. He wanted to be in football. He didn't see a path to football, I guess, at some point. But that day changed everything, and now look at him. He's the head coach of the New York Jets. And the day that he got named the head coach of the Jets, he did a video, you know, a FaceTime with his brother, and his brother said it was the coolest thing. He goes, I'm looking at my brother and his three little kids. They're all wearing Jets T-shirts, and they're all doing J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. And he goes, none of that would ever happen if it wasn't for that day. So very cool story that I saw over the weekend. And I know there were some great tributes over the weekend, too, in just about every stadium in the NFL and certainly in baseball.
Well,
and
absolutely. Every year marks an important anniversary of that date. It's one of the probably the most significant date in our lifetimes, right? Every generation seems to go through, you know, whether it be Pearl Harbor, whether it be JFK, whether it be the Twin Towers. You know, you go through defining moments in the history of this country, and that's ours, kind of. And every year is kind of special. And, you know, it was a big one being 20 years, you know, the big anniversary, right? Some of those milestone anniversaries.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's been 20 years already. Time flies, that's for sure. But I just thought I'd share those with you. Those were two great stories that I saw yesterday leading into the weekend. It was a forgetful weekend for the Packers, we know that.
Yeah.
But I'm very confident that they'll be able to turn it around starting next week. In the meantime, though, we'll continue to vent, try to figure out what went awry on Sunday. But only, I guess, only until Wednesday. So we got today and tomorrow. Because by Wednesday, focus switches to the Detroit Lions
for Monday Night Football.
They'll be in for Monday Night Football for the season opener. So hopefully, you'll be joining us all week on the Bill and Rookie Experience. It starts at 6 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on the Fan.